Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... This is a podcast while driving for Ralph, our recruiting person in the RSL branch, but it will go out to a wider audience of people who want to listen to it. So the RSL is the Return Servicemen's League. And over the years, I think it was pretty much, well, it's hard to say, exclusively for people who've actually been in overseas theatre in combat and stuff like that. And then it's expanded to people who haven't been in combat and sort of expanded to national servicemen. So in the Vietnam War there, we had conscription. So we had three grades of soldiers. We had the volunteer militia, which is the reserve soldiers, the conscripts, and the actual professional soldiers. And the professional soldiers were, in Vietnam, a mix of 50% conscripts, 50% professional soldiers. Now, the conscripts themselves had a lot more training than, say, the US people. And so Vietnam's a sort of a key area to distinguish it. So, and still nonetheless, the RSL, the Return Servicemen's League, which was founded after World War One, and had various names, and it was had a various religious and political views, i.e. that had a view with respect to the crown and set of beliefs. They're sort of moulded away, and there's your membership of the RSL can be now, if you have been a member of the reserve forces, so you've been in the reserve, which is the militia, and so you're not the full, you are still a full member, but you're not, obviously, if you stand in front of a memorial, they don't have a memorial for people who've stayed at home, it's a memorial for overseas battle, overseas career and stuff like that. So you, although you're welcome and you've psychologically you've still there, you haven't actually got some of the welfare issues that the RSL is aiming to speak to. So, and although there are sort of certain people, look, I would doubt that anybody would bother to make up their own military story, because I fundamentally think is that the one people, group of people who wouldn't be too impressed with your military story, and you'd seem a bit odd if you went on talking about your military story and had beliefs about your military story in an RSL context, because people have actually been there. That's so much of a conversation, and then things move on. There's sort of a tilt at it, but it's not a major thing. So going back to it, just as an introduction to these people overseas, there's this, I suppose, ex-military fraternity and sorority of people involved, just to try and pick through some of the issues. Now, my overall view is that, this might be a bit controversial, that the people who go into the military are almost destined to be on the outside of the go-getting, you know, grabbing things for yourself society, the wealth-oriented society. They've selected a zone of service, have a way of looking at things, which is going to set them apart, regardless of, you know, whether they've been overseas or not. And so push comes to shove. After a period of time, this RSL does definitely have a role as basically an empathy and practical, or I think it's a combination of practical empathy might be the bottom line, and a representation of ideas, the ideas of service, respect, and not sort of mindless respect, but sort of respect due to action, I suppose, rather than respect to officers, respect due to people's actions and commitment. Commitment to value. Respect for values, I think, might be the story of it. So that's your RSL in a nutshell. And, of course, RSL has gone through various, they would say, horrors, but for me, it's looking in, it's just standard process. It's become very asset rich. Just looking at it, it's $100 million on the books, New South Wales, in terms of property. A lot of fundraising and not the modernisation of governance. Partly because its role is not to make money, its role is to be an empathetic organisation. So, unsurprisingly, as it would happen, statistics are that the odds are that people have come in, raked a bit of money off the top, and there's this soul searching as there's a push for change, but no leadership of change. So my overall version is that you can see that people are walking into change and having problems with it, because various things, the constitutions, there's no leadership and view for where the constitution is. It's all reaction to it. Or they want to consolidate funds and streamline it so it's not removed. The issue is, the issue was simple. What happened? What was the problem? And how is it solved? That link is not through. It's that generalization that if I have more police, there'll be less crime. It doesn't necessarily account for it. So there's just simple things in that terms of that. There's an idea still within a military order that you promulgate an idea down, and there's not the sense of this. Oh well, let's make it more sensible to do it one way. So one aspect of it, say, would be in the funding. RSL could open a account with a guaranteed management and interest, which would consolidate the funds. They'd be able to offer a reasonable interest to everybody, and it would make more economic sense than the individuals' organisations having individual bank accounts. So it could be an RSL bank. So the people have an opportunity to go outside or bank it with the RSL group, and by and large they should always be able to offer something a little bit better, commercially better. This is the sort of internal market mechanism. And now what we're going to talk about is recruiting. So I'm perhaps, if you look at the grouping in there, I'm perhaps a little bit different in terms of that. I've had a very broad background in science and in so everyone has retired and has taken on a second career and various things like that. I've sort of had a career which has put me in training in terms of marketing and business planning and executive roles. And it is interesting that the military organization management and hitting a timeline, hitting deadlines, getting organized, I can't quite describe it. It's sort of like there's a Gantt chart, which is where you organize things to happen on time and stuff like that. There's also just the breadth of personal your personal craft and your social craft, your planning craft. So for me, the military staff, being trained as NCO and also in training for so many years, I could see just the ability to run meetings, basically like orders groups with a structure to it, and also at various times when it came for training, I knew how to train people and what had to happen. And for my own personal training, I know this is a recovery, that to set myself up for the program, set myself up for the goal, and keep on revisiting and moving forward. Now, one of the things we want to look at is marketing. Not marketing, this is recruiting, the equivalent of marketing. We had a brief chat with you, and we had a discussion that there was a sequence, a model, a sequence, and I'll just quickly go through the model as discussed. So every year, the RAAF base, local military base, would put on a do for the returned soldiers at the officers' mess. So this would be a beautiful dinner, a beautiful social event, and this would be great, a good way of interacting with the community and keeping everything together. Obviously, it would allow people who were in, so the RAAF base provides a large fraction of the people in the area. So RAAF officers tend to buy properties around the base, so they don't have to go as far, build it with their families. Oops, just... Okay, I'm just driving here, and just see a little bit of dangerous driving coming across here. I'm actually travelling up the mountains to buy my wife a specialist Easter egg, and then I've got to go down to do volunteer work in the Science Teachers Association. But getting back to it, so what's happened is that this is actually, if you imagine, a marketing tool was tuned to the audience, hit a strung, and it actually provided a resonance which would go through, so people would prepare for it and afterwards, and it would involve spouses and other people, other invited guests, so it had interactions and going across. And now, of course, push comes to shame, to shove, people have stopped doing that thing anyway, and of course with terrorism, the security clearance to get onto a base is really, really complex. But this is very interesting from a number of points. One is that such a set of ideas, rather than being held in people's heads, should it be actually be written down in a document such that we can see what's happened in the past, what worked in the past, and actually teased apart. Because we may have the ability to pick the eyes out of that and recreate something which is a little bit more showy. Comes to mind that the... And then when you see that written down, you can actually compare it to Rotary, which is based on dinners and the idea of eating together, really important. What could in fact happen, I'm just floating this up, but combination is that we could pick a relatively nice but remote place in the national park, and we could have a full service dinner without the RAAF base, the old time, but with the ability of to invite people, and we have the uniforms, the dress tables, and the contradiction of full service and just whatever it is out in the bush, fully catered for and whatever. And this is the general PR recruiting, not recruiting things, but a building idea. Now, along those ideas, this is looking at the internal health, that is, the members that you do have an activity. One of the things there is a potential for, and I looked at, and this is what this general thing is, general discussion of ideas, is that it is possible to request movies in a local cinema, particularly for times which don't have a high turnover. Okay, so they take a number of bets, and it is possible to get an old movie like The Great Escape and stuff like that, and to build that into a community event, a joint community RSL event that people can go with veterans to an old war movie, have a bit of a laugh, have a bit of analysis, say perhaps have actual facts about what actually happened compared to it. So you might have The Great Escape or The Bridge Over the River Kwai. There are these various things, and a bit of review and press, and build it up. So that's another thing besides that meeting. And this is just the general health and general recruiting to get the social aspects of it. Because one of the things coming out from chatting to people is the RSL seems to, as far as they can see, and it's quite an accurate thing, seems to be focused on just having meetings, just doing a narrow band of things. It doesn't have a broad range of things that can be done. So that's just an idea coming across. Now, there's a number of people that, as you bump along, for some reason, I don't know whether they tell you, they tell everyone during the day. I definitely don't tell anyone about my military history. In fact, probably no one. There's people that you bump into, and for some reason you can tease it out of them. Now, what's interesting is that these people are not... So in terms of marketing things, you can do general broad level marketing, sort of wide net, and hope to pull people up. But if people are not joining for certain reasons, it's sort of like the marketing's got to be direct and address the issues that are relevant to them. So what I want to say is, along the theme of the let's write it up and have a bit of a documentation about what's going on so we can plan or have a logical narrative. Okay, so, but what actually, when everyone does an operation or something, there is a narrative. So, I don't know if you, or I think you might be Air Force, but in Army, situation, situation mission, SMEAC, situation mission. You have that situation that you have to describe, and to get that situation, we have to get out of people's heads around the place, out into the open, and in a way which is accessible, accessible to people. So, what I think is necessary is the last thing you want to do is ask someone to join with a yes or no thing, for that's the end result. I think what we want to do is go through and say, what if that person joined? What would their experience be, and what would we change in the way that we do things to accommodate them? And then when we've gone through all that process, we could then say, oh, well, we for a general class of people, we're doing this general thing, not just for you, but for a general class of people, we're changing, we're manipulating, things like that, and you might want to be involved in it. So, just to go through two case studies, I'll be able to get this done fairly quickly. There's a someone I met whose ex-British military husband was British military and have transferred to Australia and have worked on various things. We're in the Falkland Wars, out in the Ascension Islands, at various military things, British military stuff. And she's volunteered for various things, air shows and stuff like that. The key understanding of the value of service, the actual respect, it's not respect for people or respect for accounts, it's respect for the fundamental values and fairness, and trying to actually say, we're part of a solution and we're trying to work out the most professional solution. I think that might be it. I said, oh, perhaps you would want to join. She said, oh no, the people in the RSL do this. It's probably actually a fair story. It's all men, they're all focusing on this narrow range of problems. And I like such and such an organisation because I feel safe. That this is an organisation because it responded to me. I had a problem and they were able to try and fix it, a network of fixing it. And although this is a instruction, a contemplated device, so even if she doesn't join, and I don't think we should ask her specifically to join, interview, get a series of basic points as guidance for how to evolve and develop, and that is an aim for 2 years' work to make it an organisation which achieves the goals that we want, plus opens it up for more people to join. So it's not a compromise, it's not diversion, it is convergence. That is, to converge where it's going with the other lines of things to go across. Now, one of the things that we do note is the huge proliferation of veterans organisations and this idea of there's a force, divergent force, going through. So the idea is that there's an overall plan that within 2 years we're going to ask, would you like to join? And when we ask you, would you like to join, it will be in the midst of a conversation where we have actually worked through and you don't feel hassled. It's not a choice. Now, Australians in general do not join organisations. It's one of the things I think our political parties have less, our major political parties have less actual formal members than are in a footy match. I think there's 60,000 of one party and 40,000 of another in a nation of, you know, clocking over 2 million people. So it's a pretty amazing process to go across. So I think one of the things that we do learn is that asking someone to join or would you consider joining, they make no. And the thing is that if they get the impression that it's a static organisation for which no is a permanent thing, we've sort of already found out who's going to join and who's not going to join, because there's no new people are going to join, because it's not suddenly they hear about the answer, say, oh, that's a great brochure here, that's a warm such or whatever it is. No, it's a lot more subtle things like that. Now, there's another person I bumped into who was, yeah, you know what, I think military people can pick other military people out, quite honestly. So he was in an Anaconda shop filling up gas bottles for scouts, and I made a statement that not all gas bottles were completely empty. We don't know. It is for the charity for scouts. It's got this high value, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is the purpose, this is the mission, whatever it is. And just the way I said it, he said, well, I really connect with that because of X, Y, Z. Now, it turns out to be many levels of connections. He also had a stroke and going across it. He also needs sort of help and support in different things. And he is ex-Afghanistan and had actually been wounded over there. Now, there's a large mental health area that can be supported. Now, one of the, I suppose, interesting things is that we tend to be, there's sort of natural mental health attitudes. There's a lot of general support, but there's a lot of bad situations that people can get themselves into, or because society's not really geared for looking after people. At the end of the day, society's got an option for making more money. It's a fundamental thing, and making people feel famous, I think, is probably the other thing that I'm just about to turn off soon. And get my first thing, and it's 3:30. I should be on time, right through getting this. So this is another person. Now, I'm aware myself looking at different things, and the amount of time to put a proposal, its issue is not change and progress. It is evolution, which adds value to the members. If it's fundamental empathy, there is no point changing such that you lose your empathy value. So a lot of things I see is, like, I'm up there and I try and shut up, and it's really interesting. People are very positive about me saying things, and even if I say slightly mad things, people try and look at it. Now, one of the things that I don't do is try and say, right, we're going to turn this around, and we, by such and such a date, we're going to get there. There's no point marching off in a direction and leaving half the people behind. So I think in this direction, now it's just to recap. So these people are different, from a different background, and they will want to bring a different quality to their organisations. I very rarely, gone are the days where people say, this is the organisation, I worship the organisations going through. They've got a mind, a thought, and it's essentially what they want to go. Now, that's not everyone's like that. There's a few people there who are just happy to turn up, and that's okay. There are other people who are saying, well, look, look at that. Sorry, I just nearly collecting. But there's someone who didn't indicate going around about. So they're looking forward for what to do. Now, in the case of my analysis, is that there seems to be a massive gap between the youth and the veterans. And the youth speak a language of technology and attention span, and there's a certain way to do this. Now, this is picking up my knowledge from teaching. There's a certain way to do it, to have a coherent message, coherent a look and a feel, a brand name, that the RSL comes out and it has a message, and people can have an experience that they can then explain. In this time, I did this. There's no point. I mean, people like to involve themselves in a march, or dress up in uniform, or walk through, or have some sort of experience which can explain it. So in that, I've come up with a cluster of ideas associated with technology, but the technology is secondary. The major point is trying to get the youth involved, the community involvement since then. Okay, what's going through? The important thing is that no one will want to, in this world of cynicism, there is nothing to do but actually, go across here. Now I'm just going to have a little squiz around here. So look, I'll finish this off with I'll be back in the car soon. Now what the heck is happening here? So I'll be, just have to stop here, and I'm just buying a Easter present for my wife, the very best quality egg that I can buy. Not that money can buy, that I can buy. Thanks a lot for listening. I'll be back in a short while to finish this off. So I've hit the record button. It's listening again. So this is a part two, but for you it's a sound, it's continuous. For me, I've had a little bit of a break. So what I want to do is re-get back onto that idea of recruiting is not just a turn up, hit and miss, turn up on the day. It requires a lot of things. It's part and parcel of deep organisational change, which ultimately is more productive, hopefully more productive, and leading to a higher quality outcome. Ultimately, it's horrible using some of the modern ideas, but it's basically being able to say what we want to achieve. And that, I think, to what we want to achieve is a higher quality of inclusiveness, an ethos of empathy, to get across, and some of this generalized feeling, especially there is, the world's a complicated place, and sometimes you're called upon to actually step up and be involved, be it a bushfire, be it a disease, be it people in distress, whatever it is. Now, one of the things that I think people are all very much is the crapola. This is No, you don't do this. I'm in a roundabout, mate. Just let me through. God. So it's an overcrowded roundabout. Now, there's nothing worse than cars, jammed in a roundabout. Now, these have got a pedestrian crossing here. Sorry for talking about this. I'm in particular thinking of my friends, real army friends, who were in Rwanda had various roles in Timor. Now, the interesting thing is that nothing more frustrating. So Rwanda's interesting. The people coming out there, what they could and couldn't do, and their seen presence, the idea that you're not forgotten, that connectivity to it. Timor is a different story, game. See the role that the military played, however how sincere our government and politicians were in the process to that. There's some Japanese tourists getting through. I'll be able to get out of here. There's this great conflict, like in Vietnam or in even in Timor, the political ambiguity or the ambivalence, political ambivalence, has to be teased apart from the person on the ground in the situation, given that they may not be starting from the best situation, is trying to do the best possible. I think that's to go through, and it's not that the growth stops at conflict, and that there's growth suddenly it suddenly stops after the conflict, after you're out of the military. It's this continuous growth. It's just growth with the military involved in it. And again, military is probably not the most gifted stuff. So if you look at Australia's greatness, it's not necessarily we've had the very best people there to go through. Now, what I'd like to go back on is actually go into the drone story, because this might give you a little bit of an idea. So, again, it's this sort of helicopter strategic, high-level look into a place, and this is again part of the military context. This campaign, understanding the theatre stuff, and I had a chat with a few people, and they understood. They had been trained in the same thing that I'd been trained in or read about. And this is centre of gravity and Clausewitz, and this big broad view of it's an integration of different systems to go forward, and you've got them, you should be able to have them all at play to meet different situations. And so in terms of the youth thing, there is some problems, but how we can turn it around. One way to turn it around is with this show of concentrated, precise technology, which they can witness, observe, participate in, and this is where the drones go out and drop the markers, and that people can walk through the battle, and you can make statements, and the statement is not just a psychological statement, like say that the difference from the beach at Gallipoli to Lone Pine, where most of the Australians died, I don't know how many thousand Australians died, just walking to one or two Turkish machine guns. That distance was a kilometre, and that's distance from the RSL club. From the visited Glenbrook Information Centre up to the Lapstone pub, or the Glenbrook Information Centre to the start of the RAF base up here. It's a very short distance, but in order to get that through, to rather make it to actually lift the experience out of memorials, out of the speech, to make it, to recontextualize it. And so that's the idea of the drones. Now, what's been put forward, I have put forward it forward to RSL head office. The interesting thing is that the group meant to field such inquiries automatically didn't even bother responding. They got rid of it immediately. Okay, and so this is really not a good sign. However, because they didn't put an email acknowledgement, I phoned up and pushed it through. And finally, there was this: we will have a look at it when we've got time. You know, this type of stuff. You know, surely things should. So they've already made an assessment of it. However, nonetheless, I don't think this should stop us. Again, there are many situations where the best plan or less plan seems impossible or is sidelined for the moment. And now what I've also done is that I wrote off, I've got sort of a history of innovation with Brendan Nelson, the the head of the War Memorial, in as much that he's written letters to me spontaneously, not solicited or anything, just saying, look, it's remarkable the innovation brought, shown by the community in these various things, as I was trying to lead unsuccessfully the earlier adoption of laptops and whiteboards. What things are considered natural about 5 years before they became popular, I was trying to lead it, and just the methodology that I was doing. He wrote letters, so he remembered that, and then I just sent a website, so I can build websites. I built a website with just a single picture of the RSL drones and an integrated strategy to him, and he looked at it, no response. And so in this process of no response, I wrote to him and said, look, there's no need for response. I was just putting it to you to see if there was a violent objection to it, to know that we should reappraise the plans. And and he wrote back a very intelligent reply, and he said he believed it had merit with a proviso in the right circumstances, which is perfect. It's a perfect thing to get going. Now, again, pushing along here, I've begun to just do the very first links with Australian technology. And similarly to not getting through the front door at RSL, the RSL people, the boffins that they've got at the five people have got to handle all the RSL people and basically turn around issues, not collate them, and I don't know what they're doing. I've read what they were in RSL magazine. It's sort of like dumb communication. I don't want to say it's dumb communication, but it's sort of like the difference between a platoon sergeant who's just been trained, a platoon signal sergeant or a regimental signal sergeant who's just been trained purely in technology, but in no, you get the information from A to B and a certain thing following the things and not realizing the strategic positioning of things. So they've been for years, and it's always been, can I have 10 magazines of this? Can I have this? Opdem, Macdem, all this type of stuff. And they're not realizing the significance or the ability to work in with intelligence officers or anything else like that. That they don't realize it. And so this is very much what's happening here. Again, with these Oh, it's a beautiful view. I'm coming down from Lura, having bought something for my wife. It's 4 o'clock. I've got to get to a meeting within an hour in the city. I think I might be able to do it. I was concerned that I was a bit late. Late previous to that. So let's go. How we're doing for speed? Okay. The next thing is to see how this idea in its embryonic form can move forward. So you notice that putting through the idea, I didn't say to our little group, we've got to take it or not. This is the idea, this is where it's going, it's embryonic. So you can, your election, you've got several options. So you can say, violently oppose, and we want to know about it, not interested, or there is merit, but not in such a way that I have to physically get out of my chair and do anything merit for it. And it is significant to actually get to the right people so that that process can be done, because you have these people who are filtering, because you know that the world nowadays is a maze, a mass, awash with marketing. People are, you know, if we look at the number of people employed in marketing getting messaging, it's, everyone's trained to shout and sing, and the volume of stuff is coming up. And so people, in order to be just effective, are just saying, ignore everything. I'm still at the actual Australian Industries to support this. They're still like ignore everything, but I'm going to go a step further and actually see if I can, in the right time, approach the chief scientist of New South Wales to see if how we could integrate it, if there's any interest in it. Now, what often happens is that if you're not from a university, if you're not from a school, it's very hard to do anything. So perhaps we'll go across. Perhaps we need to grow and be a bit bigger. But the RSL's understanding of this very of not embracing a project for whatever fear, it's just totally alien to them. If they were to embrace it, a lot more doors could open. So one could assume, let's assume that they've said yes. They haven't. But they've said yes, and what we can do, 70 kilometres an hour, mate. Okay, now, of course, you've got the general principle, and it is very rare, it's not mathematical, very rare that you've got only one way of going forward. If there's an overall problem, it generally has a range of solutions which all support each other. So, indeed, there is a range of digital solutions which should be put out in a package and with a plan for not 1 year, 10 years, that we achieve these certain things. This is a drone-assisted battlefield reconstruction and messages, possibly communication and education packages aimed at each individual audience. That is, for a school, there is a certain thing which is cleansed, gone through, there's colouring in, there's conflict resolutions, there's things which are relevant to them, which are skills that they will need. So anti-bullying, mateship, all these sorts of things that wouldn't be tolerated. When I say bullying wouldn't be tolerated, apparently in the ADFA, the defence, the top of defence, bullying was rife. But I must admit, I suppose I just didn't experience any. I've definitely experienced bullying in the education department, but I didn't experience any of it. Not a shred of it in the army or anything like that. So it's sort of, you come away with the idea, look, it's just not necessary. it's necessary. You want to do it, and therefore you're saying it's necessary, but it really isn't. Is it necessary? So when I'm talking about a group of strategic things, one would be using the mobile phone to geocache memorials. So when you go into up to a memorial, it automatically can, by tapping the RSL app, tell you detailed information about the names on that memorial and background history. And you can, if you want to, leave a message and a note for it, and it will be read and considered and possibly published anonymously or directly or within sort of time zone, and any sort of really sophisticated, much more sophisticated than Facebook, because it's a different thing. Facebook is about communication peer-to-peer in real time. This is communication of what 3-year-olds, what other people think, people's thoughts, and again, we can actually gatekeep in this case, in terms of we can go through, we can get someone to go through the various comments. Pick out comments. But the entire idea is of beginning to get a digital conversation and digital engagement. Now, the bottom line is that whether you think it's right or wrong, that's a sequence of thought which is way, way before that has to occur a long time. Well, it has to occur after we've got this up and going. Now, I know that sounds stupid. You know, what if something doesn't work? The actual investment is so low to get this up conceptually. We can actually it's almost as though you can't see the value of something until you've gone up. So in terms of, this is sort of like recon, that is, you go in the air and we send out basically patrols into the zone, into the digital zone, to actually assess information about how we should go. And so we've got the drones, which is an RSL-centric thing. You need a couple of vets and a truck comes out to a field, and it's done, and it's scaffolded, if you like. It does a certain thing. There's rehearse time. They do it once or twice, and there's a training system to go through, and it's delivered, and it provides capacity and training on a number of reasons. There's a dimension further back in that. That is, the RSL package is melded, convergent. So this is the major thing, is we have to turn around the divergence of different groups, the disintegration of different groups, to convergence. That is, to draw more goodwill and more resources in to bind it together and reorient ourselves such a convergence with other things. So if you can imagine, rather than staying still and being buffeted around by the current, we actually can actually get things up. So in terms of convergence, I'm talking about the idea of bullying, conflict resolution, organizations, vocation, all these different big broader issues have one statement. And rather than having it as seen as a definitive statement, I believe blah blah, this is one aspect of many things that you can look at. This group has decided this, and you can take it or you can leave it. You can take us, or I should say us veterans, I'm not actually a physical war veteran, but you can take us old guys, or you can leave it. That ultimately, of course, is always your decision. However, note that we are being able to articulate ourselves so to you. It's like a conversation, in that this is what we are, who are you, and how does it relate to going forward? That is, rather than just going forward by yourself in isolation, you create a conversation and you have a destination for both you and the group that you're talking with. Okay, to get through. So there's within the school, then you've got your digital engagement, which can capture a broader cross-section. Now, the important thing is that it is remembrance. Now, remembrance is totally different from Instagram, where it's forget. The idea is to speak and forget. A lot of the digital idea is that it's very ephemeral. You see something, you make a comment on it, your first comment, you get followers, it goes around, and it's addictive, because if you don't feed the beast, it will disappear. This is quite the opposite. Some of the opposite things, I think, in terms of digital remembrance. That is, you have to access the knowledge about a particular site. You have to go to that site and see it. And you can't, and I would say you cannot access that any other way. You can't sit at home and surf the internet. You have to actually go to such a memorial. You have to go to that. And you can get some message. It may be inconvenient. You may not work for you, but it's not going to work for you in any way. So this engagement. But what I would really like to do is to be able to have people capture their memorial digital footprint over time. So I visited this 20 years ago, and this is what I said, and this is what my children who visited that said. And this is what's come to light in the meantime. Sort of a timeline where some of the digital stories, the digital truths, are under control. And this is, if you can consider it, a zone of control we want to control and go across. Now, we may not be able to do that. It may not work. But the issue is that people nowadays are programmed to dismiss things very quickly, because they dismiss things very quickly for a number of reasons. One is that the marketing noise is so loud, and to be a good customer, you have to buy quickly, throw out quickly. You need those two combinations. Of course, we don't want that. We don't want the digital commercial thing, where we have to actually go on a beauty pageant, be liked, and then if we win that beauty pageant, we get disposed of quickly. So, you know, we really got to really think deeply about what a marketing person says and what values that they have actually inside it. So you've got that, the digital experience in education with the veterans there, able to educate more, attract more, and integrate more within an education system. Then you've got the long-term memorial related stuff, and that is, a memorial is remembering, and it's remembering over a period of time. It's different people remembering, and it's got a aim which is fundamentally, conceptually different from what is put forward. Now, I don't know. Just to let you know, I may be bombastic, that is, using too many big words, and rabbiting on. Let's do it. I'm in a car. I've got a podcast. I'm going across. So of course I'm going to be like that. Just to remind you that typically anything I say in real life, well, this is not on a podcast, in real life, I will have someone have a one-liner and shut me down, which is all okay. And there's a feeling of greatness. I've shut them down, that's good. I don't have to listen to the next set of ideas coming through. And that's a great thing. I think someone said just recently, Do you know he's lost so much weight? Why don't you tell him how much weight you think? And then you are grateful for shutdowns because this person said, well, you bloody well needed to lose weight, which is good. But I'm just trying to describe, there is a great benefit of shutdown for when you want to not rabbit on stupid things, you know, people shutting down. But indeed, shutdown does matter. It really doesn't matter. It just means that you keep on working undercover, going across. So I could give a military equivalent to that of not being able to have a region of influence, but you've still got to build up your defences, still up to get your supply, still go across, go through the thing, and then you get your sphere of influence. I think a lot of people just bully their way through a sphere of influence, gain it, and feel, oh, that's great. Of course, what happens is they walk out of the room, it disappears. So we're on about building a bigger sphere of influence, an enduring sphere of influence. Now, if you look at the categories, you've got probably four categories. The zeroth category, which is the social life within the RSL. The first category is official RSL interaction with education and other bodies. The second category, it would be the RSL and the remembrance. That this is transcends organisations, is in that diffuse space of memorials and moving forward. And then we have the third one, which is really, because the fourth one, because I've said a zeroth, because I've done some count. Now look, I just want to really briefly say, zeroth? What the heck is that? Well, it's actually quite common. There's the zeroth law of thermodynamics. There's the zeroth law. That is, by the time they realize they've done that, worked out the first three laws in general or something, they realize, oh, look, there's a more fundamental, there's a pre-doing, and so people talk about the zeroth law, so, I don't know. So the third law of thermodynamics is actually the fourth, counting the fourth law, but you count from zero. Okay. But we have a third region, which is event, which the RSL does brilliantly and exists on, is event-oriented, augmentation. That is, at the moment we have the lily. Not the lily, bloody hell, the poppy. The different poppies. And we've diversified that. We've got a purple poppy for, if you want to remember, animals who died in war. And a red poppy for actual people who died in war. Now this is sort of a strange, and so you've got the day, the marches, and it's got various elements of it. And it being a ritual, it's got these things, sort of main propulsion. I think our club has it's the one day of the year, it makes the profit for the rest of the year. Not the club, but not our sub-branch. And so there's a generous thing, and ceremony is a very important aspect of it. Because it's sort of like it's a calendar or clock which allows people to go, and it allows, because it happens over and over again, people can conceptualize it because it's what's happened so many years ago in running. It's something very sophisticated, but it is fundamentally different from the other 0, 1, 2, 1 and 2. Because it's got this repeating aspect to it. And so, it's repeat. You can have very small things for a large number of people. And so, the other ones, you've got very specific groups and specific times. This is a generalized, sort of a narrow time window, but with a large, large cross section. And again, this is ripe for digital interdiction. That is a digital. So if you can imagine, I don't know what group you've come from, a sort of like
you should consider the mobile phone as a weapons platform, but not quite. But it's the mobile phone can be mounted with different apps to achieve different things, and integrated in certain ways, and also to build an intelligence picture, or to be used in a certain way. So one of the things I think is sort of intense is the poppy. Now, you've got the physical poppy. You could have a mobile phone poppy. Okay, not as significant, but it could have certain aspects of it that it can, send you a particular story when it comes across, or connect you with other people who have visited the same sequence of things or interests, or you can put a profile in or something like that. But your poppy, you can actually obviously buy it online, I myself haven't quite fully conceptualized it, as I have with the other things, but essentially it's got some aspect of having a poppy. So people can buy poppies and they put it on, and it's sort of like the generalized feeling for it. It's a symbolized for other people, but it can be sort of an augmentation. So you could have the poppy, and it's there. And the important thing is it's there for the day, and it goes. But look, there may be one way to go across. Now, the only reason I do mention that is that there is a systematic way of doing these things. 4:42, I think I'll be there just on time. Oh Christ, that'll be a bit of a bar. Up to Valley Heights. We've got that digital purview, and that the sort of take-home message for this is that if you want to progress forward, not win, but if you want to actually see the way forward, you've got to survey the whole gamut. So if you want to sort of like the problem is caused by a wide range of factors, and you really have to walk through all those factors, and the way you walk through it is sort of various logic systems. So we've got the youth, their input is technology, their story is technology. So with that technology, how do you do it? And then you say, well, it goes in like this, but it has a limit to it. And then you expand that limit and then change your technology as you go along. So, possibly not necessarily a technology strip. So as you go along, we have the RSL, just to go again, the RSL community building events, the RSL interaction with organizations via drones, the RSL diffused thing. So RSL is multi-dimensional. So wherever there is a war memorial, there is a story, there is RSL. You can actually put that in digital. So if you imagine for certain operations, the mobile phone or the technology is sort of like a platform to go forward. And then finally, you say, well, why am I looking at this thing? Well, because you say it's ding, 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 and not this. It's ding, ding, and not this. Well, what have I created in that not this aspect, and how does that go across? And this is really fundamentally the... just coming up here. This is really fundamentally the story here. for this last section come across. This is done for the external going forward. Internally, we have to say, how do we adapt to it? Now, the idea of our changing behavior and what we do in response to intelligence is, you know, this is just putting it in military terms for you, is the training command idea. That is, your forward thinking is that you're going to train and adapt people to better meet with the situation, to gain and maintain the initiative, to have the tools with which to respond. That is, again, the idea in that, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to change everyone from intertropical warfare, and so we're just going to have a tropical warfare weekend. No, it requires a whole series of things to go ahead, and analysis and steps, and it will take so much time. So similarly, in our recruiting drive and direction, it will require a certain amount of intelligence gathering, analysis, and training and behavioural changes. And this is not, we don't have to behave differently, but if the people are telling us that they don't like this, they don't want that, and that is like they don't like people who only go on about ANZAC Day ceremonies, or say for this particular person, she really didn't like people who go on about their I was in such a conflict, or isn't war great, and all that. They didn't really like that. Well, indeed, that doesn't necessarily happen, and an environment can be created where that doesn't. As far as I can say, I've never heard anyone really talk about the old days. I think the very first time I was there for the very first meeting many years ago, I went in there and this person chewed my ear off about bombing command and World War II. And of course, the real issue here is that we've come a long, long way of analysis since the basic. It's like the next. Where people are at the moment is not a continuation or rejection of the propaganda or the story and narrative as put forward by the RAAF in World War II. People have moved on. What's happened is that people have analysed things and they questioned things, and it's a much more nuanced, softly approach, which is, you know, what I hopefully bring. But that being said, these people want different things, and if we are probably able to provide what they want by just addressing the way things are looked, providing it. And then if we're going to move forward and produce, you know, if we're going to move forward, if you can imagine the front moving forward as we look at these different situations, the rear can also move forward, but it requires a little bit of training and a little bit of thought. And you notice that in all of this, none of it is really focusing on the constitution and in the internal structure, which everyone seems to really focus everyone's attention, which seems to be a problem a lot of the time in failed situations. People become embroiled in internal strategies, and of course internal strategies doesn't actually get you anywhere. It doesn't get you any new blood in or anything like that. However, that being said, we're going to be we're sitting on all these monetary assets and stuff like that, and basically you've got to spend money to make money. We can actually deploy those assets in, rather than a static asset, that is once a year flag raising or a memorial or something static, we can actually make something more dynamic, which means on the overall time we'll be able to pick up a greater thing. It's a basic fundamental growth model. Now, people are in shops and everywhere. People are sort of authorized to, I don't know, they're in an office and they're conserving toner and printer paper and stuff like that. And if you let people to their own devices, they will produce nothing because they would eventually save and not use equipment. But in order to buy in supplies and to have a plan to actually process things and grow, you have to actually take assets. So I see as a logical point, if there's a change of behaviour, we'll also have a change in attitude to assets and employing assets. And of course, this is the activity. So rather than getting people to turn up and do nothing, they actually handle an asset. It looks as though the asset's disappearing, but it's regrowing on the other side. It's been passed from the left hand to the right hand. It's growing and going forward. So I can see ways that you can, basically, it's called recycling assets in the big story. It looks like horrible things. It's just where you sell old assets and get in new assets which are more relevant to the strategic direction that you want to go. Now, this is a podcast. It'll go out internationally and there'll be typically there's 80 people worldwide who tune in to listen to these things. And you probably, at the end, I'll be able to look at it. There's probably be about, we'd be lucky if there's 12 people around the world who will actually listen to this. So I'm going to put it on. And what I'm going to do is wire it, and I'll email it to Tom, who will possibly email it to you if you're on the email, and you can listen to it or not. It really doesn't matter. The attribute that I have to do is two aspects. I've got to, part of my stroke rehabilitation is to actually learn to speak. Now you might say, if you listen to this rabbiting on, must be rehabilitated. No, there's a bit more strategy to it in terms of that I've improved an enormous amount, but I've also got to learn how to actually structure thoughts and communicate things more clearly. And by Jove, there's going to be another story where I'll be able to get there. So this is, I'm already seeing the starts of my head coming together to give an introduction, a story, and then coming back to it. This is just a ramble that's gone on, and hopefully you've heard things. And the major thing is, because it's in the rehabilitation packet, it's don't take it all that seriously. But also, the other aspect is, because it's in the rehabilitation stuff, I do so many podcasts a day. Anyway, I've written the software such that it automatically publishes it. So it's low cost. It's necessary for me to do, not difficult for me to do, but I understand it's not quality yet. And I, having done it, will naturally go for the next one to go up a level. So thanks a lot for listening. Let's try and find out where this thing is and turn you off. So my hand is going along, trying to find the headphone, and my hand's almost on the off button. Okay, thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.